a few verses tonight. 1 Chronicles in chapter 4. It's a passage that to some perhaps may not be too familiar, and yet it is the Word of God, and we read that the things written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. 1 Chronicles 4, and reading verses 9 and 10. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow." And Jabez called on the God of Israel, "Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. We're not aware of this man being referred to in any other place in the Scripture but in these two verses. And yet we believe that the Lord has something here for us that should help us and is intended for our instruction. It may be difficult actually to pinpoint historically just when this man lived. But we, in looking at the chapter here, we notice that this particular chapter is taken up with the sons of Judah, dealing with the tribe of Judah, and possibly in the earlier days after they had come into the land of their possessions. And here, in what seems to be an isolated passage of Scripture, we have a few things that shed light on the character of this man, the exercise that he had, and the fact that God heard and answered him. We notice that, first of all, it is said that he was more honorable than his brethren. Now, the word "more" there is a comparative word, which indicates to us that he had brethren who were honorable, and therefore he seems to have been one of an honorable family. But he was more honorable than his brethren. We're not sure just in what way that was evident, but nevertheless, he was such. Another thing that is told us about him is that the meaning of his name is sorrowful. Now, I'm sure that none of us would like to have a name like that. In the Old Testament Scriptures, the meanings of names are very significant. And if a person had a name with a good meaning to it, it was to his credit and God's glory if he lived up to that name, if he manifested the truth of that name in his life. Now, this man's name was not a desirable one. The meaning of it was very undesirable. But here is a man who rose above the meaning of his name with that purpose of heart and that prayer and exercise. And he did not want to be one who would live to the fulfilling of it, but to rise above it spiritually, which he certainly did seem to do. We find here that, first of all, we think of this man's prayer. And brethren, it seems that we, perhaps most of us, would have to confess that prayer is becoming a lost art among us. What about our private prayers? How much have we prayed about the meetings that are just before us? Have we been before God individually and his families, that the Lord would come in and visit us with his blessing. And so that we do confess that oftentimes, as we look back to earlier days in our lives, and we feel as though we had known more of what it was to really labor in prayer. It's a marvelous thing that there are men in the scriptures who labored in prayer. And we may think of certain things as hard work, but there are situations that can develop that call for definite deep exercise and prayer before God and striving or laboring in prayer for God's people, for conditions that exist, and for desires for blessing and the furtherance of God's interests. Surely we might well, as it were, take a little lesson from the life of this dear man that's mentioned here. Now, first of all, we would perhaps think of the personality of this man's prayer. In glancing at it at first, we might say, well, surely this is a very, very selfish prayer. But as we seek to analyze it a little, I believe that we will come to a different conclusion altogether. This man realized, if I do not experience the blessing of God in my life, I cannot be a blessing to anyone else. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. And so that we need to be very personal in regard to our prayer life, and that is to see to it that we know experimentally the blessing of the Lord in our own souls. This man desired that. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me. He wanted to start from himself, as it were, so that the experience of his soul would reach out to others who were around about him. We were thinking, too, of the not only of the simplicity of this man's prayer, but we think of the brevity of, not only the brevity of it, but the acceptability of it, and other features about it. And first of all, we might say that here's a man who prayed to the God of Israel. And so that we think of the accuracy of that man's prayer. He knew to whom he was speaking. He was in touch with the God of Israel. And here we find that that in itself indicates that he had the long view of things before him, that if the nation was going to be blessed, the individual had to be blessed as well. And so that we think of the accuracy of this man's prayer, how scriptural it was, as we see, as we look at the various features about it. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. That word, oh, and that word, indeed, would impress us with the fervency of the man's prayer. That is the warmth of it. There was real warmth and fervency in the prayer of this man. I believe, brethren, that when it comes to prayers in the assembly, our prayers, we who are brethren, our prayers publicly, should be that which would warm the hearts of God's people. They should be conscious of the fact that we know what it is to pray, that we have that exercise of prayer constantly about us. We used to hear a story years ago about a young man who was in the army, and where they were billeted at times, he was seen at a certain time of the day to go off into the woods. And it happened regularly, day after day. And you know, some got suspicious about him, wondering if he's collaborating with the enemy, or what was he doing every day going out to this sacred rendezvous. And so he was called before his officer, and he told him just what he went for. He went out there to pray, to be alone, and to be able to pray to his God. And so that was the reason why he did that. And so, of course, the officer said, well, if that is true, let us see how you can pray, or let us hear you pray. And you know, it wasn't hard for him. I'm sure he was glad of the opportunity to pray right there and then. And the officer said at the end, he said, if you hadn't done as well in drill, he says, you wouldn't have done so well on parade. He knew that the way that boy prayed, that it was a part of himself, his own very life was built on it. And brethren, we need this among us very much. And here's a man here, and oh, that prayer was marked with fervency. It wasn't just a dry, cold, memorized repetition all the time, but there was fervency, there was feeling in it, there was warmth in it. That was a blessing, no doubt, to his own soul. I've sometimes wondered, you know, about this man and others too in the scripture. The likelihood is that they had no idea whatever that the time would come when their very words would become part of the inspired word of God, that their very words would be used in time to come as a blessing to many others. But just in their simplicity and in their warmth and their fervency, they prayed and they sought to lay hold upon the God of Israel. And so this man was very, very fervent in his prayer. Another thing about it was the brevity of this man's prayer. We know that there are many prayers in the Bible, and the longest one that we're aware of, the prayer of Solomon at the dedication of the temple, can be easily read in 8 minutes. And you know, some of us can take up a lot more than 8 minutes in a prayer meeting and never cover one-tenth of the ground that Solomon covered at all. And so when we think of the brevity of this man's prayer, it was very brief and very short, and yet we can see that he was very honest and very sincere in how he prayed. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, or my borders. That's the idea of the word coast in the scripture, oftentimes as borders. And that makes me think that perhaps it was in the early days when they got their possessions in the land. Why did he want more territory? The very fact that God answered him indicates to us that this man's prayer was honest and sincere. It was for God's glory and not for his own aggrandizement at all. Enlarge my coast, that is, give me more territory. There could be several reasons suggested why he prayed in this way. What would more territory mean to him? That would mean that there could be more production from that land. That could mean that his tithe would be increased, that he would be able to give God more than what he was doing at that time. Otherwise, the man may have had a family, a growing family, and the need was getting greater continually. And he saw the need of more territory. Enlarge my coast. I believe that can become true of Christians as well in our spiritual experience. That is, as we get to read the scriptures and understand the teaching of the word of God and think of the inheritance that's ours, our grasp and our understanding, our appreciation of it, our occupation of the inheritance, our enjoyment of it. And so that this is what he had in mind here, that thou wouldst enlarge my coast. that thine hand may be with me. He realized this is the only way in which I can really be blessed, if the hand of God is with me. He realized his need of that, that thy hand might be with me, that it would be evident in the man's life that he really had God with him in his activities and in the things in which he engaged, whatever it may have been. He wanted to have God with him. We think of how often it is said there, I think it's in chapter 8 of 2 Samuel, the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. God was with him, and God used him and worked through him. And here is a man in these early days of Israel's history nationally, seemingly. And he wanted to have God with him in his life. Oh, brethren, surely you and I might well pray in this manner as well. But then those things were positive. But there's a negative tone here as well, in a sense, that thou wouldst keep me from evil. That thou wouldst keep me from evil. Here's a man, and something was true about him that is true of every really born-again soul, and that is we hate sin. We hate sin. And you know, if we're going to be good haters, it means that we're good lovers. Our love for God, our love for Christ, will mean that we will hate everything that's contrary to him and to his mind and will. That thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Now you can see the man had a tender conscience, and evil grieved him, and he wanted to be freed from that. I knew a man, in fact I was in his Sunday school class at the time I got saved. I didn't get saved in the class, but I was one of his pupils. He was one of the happiest believers I ever knew in my life. He told me one time, he was a man who worked with his hands at some of the building trades, not a skilled laborer, but a man who worked in at the building business with others. And oftentimes, you know, he worked with ungodly men, and he had to listen to their language. And it grieved his spirit many a time as he heard the conversation of the wicked. So he asked the Lord to open up the way for him, that he might get some employment where he would be delivered from that. And you know, the Lord answered his prayer, and he got working for a Christian contractor, and all the man's help were nearly all believers. And in fact, most of them were assemblymen. And he got working for him for a long time. And you know, it was such a relief to him. They could sit down at lunchtime together, talk over the scriptures and talk about the things of God as they ate their noon meal. And he was a man that seemed to be always full. And I'm sure of this, that most of those mealtimes, he was a man that seemed to introduce the subject and carry on the conversation to a great extent. He was so full of the word and full of the joy of the Lord that it was such a blessing to him to be free from listening to that ungodly conversation. And he said sometimes when another man came on the job to do certain things and maybe ate his lunch with him too, why, you know, these ungodly men, they would find them catching themselves up, because they realized the company they were in and that language didn't suit it. And so they would find them checking themselves up all the time, trying to hold back the words that sometimes they used in their conversation. And it seems to me that God answered this man's prayer, that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. You know, if we have a tender conscience about sin, we will scorn it, we will hate it, and seek to avoid it as much as we possibly can do. That it may not grieve me. And you know what a wonderful termination that we have in this 10th verse. And God granted him that which he requested. He prayed to the God of Israel. He was fervent. He was personal. He was definite about it. And there were many features about his prayer, although it wasn't very long, and yet how genuine and how warm it was. And it was so in keeping with the mind of God that the Lord granted him that which he requested. Brethren, isn't it good to see answers to our prayers? Isn't it good to see God coming in? And I believe that every Christian that has a sincere, earnest desire like this man had to prosper spiritually and to be a blessing to those around him. And here's a man, and here just in, amid all these names that we have in these chapters, these genealogies that perhaps are not too intelligible to the most of us, and yet here's a little nugget put in here that you and I can feed upon. I'm sure some of us can still remember the first time we ever heard the scripture read or heard a few comments about it. And you know, it's been preached from hundreds and maybe thousands of times, and yet the Word of God never loses its freshness. When it comes from God with a little of the warmth of the Spirit of God, it can be a blessing to us. May the Lord help us to seek to be like this man Jabez in the spirit of our souls, and to pray as we should, and to see God coming in and answering our prayers and giving us that which we have requested of Himself.